Upland Bible Church,
Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, June
25, 2024, Joel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we're right in the middle of Vacation Bible School. 2 days are down, 3 days to go, and it's been absolutely fantastic. I have a couple of updates here. First, Monday. We had a great start to our Vacation Bible School today. We had a total of 27 children attend. They all had a great time. They started out with French toast sticks for breakfast. They all received a plastic pencil box, which is their Essence of God box. And they'll be adding items that represent each attribute of God as they learn about them the rest of the week. Daria taught the older group and Sherry the younger children. They learned about how each member of the Trinity has each of the attributes of the essence of God. They started with sovereignty today on Monday. At the end of the day, they had some review questions, and it seemed like they learned a lot, and they enjoyed it. They had a small gold crown to decorate with jewels and to put into their box. They also decorated gold paper crowns to wear. They played water balloon games out front. Thank you all for your prayers, Jamie and the VBS team. That was Monday. Oh, Tuesday. It just keeps getting better, see. Today was a better day, even a better day at Vacation Bible School. All of the children returned and were so happy to be here. And Sophie came out of reversionism. No, not. And Sophie was here today. So we had 28 children attending. And they had blueberry and chocolate chip waffles for breakfast. Hell, I'm not eating at home anymore. I'm coming to VBS for breakfast. And then Debbie had them vote for their favorite. And chocolate chip was the major winner. I stuffed the ballot box in. Daria gave the gospel using the wordless book, and she stressed faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. No works added to faith in Jesus Christ. And that eternal life is eternal. Keep praying that we present the gospel clearly so that God the Holy Spirit can make the issue clear to them. They learned about the righteousness and justice of God. Corrina taught the older group and Sherry the younger children. Both said their class and lesson went very well. The children received a purple letter R for righteousness and a small gavel for justice to add to their essence of God box. And they sang songs, including Going on a Bear Hunt. I wish you could have been here. They loved getting chased by the bears. That was Hunter, Trace, and Jake. They make great bears. They played water relays outside and made Plan of God bracelets and have colored beads that go along with the wordless book colors, giving the gospel. They took home a mini book that explains what each bead represents. And yesterday, Tim talked with one of the mothers who stayed all day with her children. And he showed her the books out in the front hallway, and she took a gospel booklet, a class schedule, and a couple of the study booklets. She felt comfortable leaving her children today. Sherry Bingham sent her a text and pictures of the children having fun during song time, and that reassured her that everyone was okay. We are all so happy to see God reaching these families. Please keep them and the VBS team in your prayers. All right. Well, we're in Joel 3, and seems like Hal Lindsey is getting the classes. He has the perfect way of introducing what we're going to be studying. The Islam-Christian divide. The politically correct police, and they're everywhere. They say not to criticize another person's religious faith. Now, they usually make an exception for Bible-centered Christianity. They criticize that all the time. During the 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, he invited questions and even investigations. Skeptics willing to examine the claims of Jesus often become Christians. God can use such examination to bring people to himself because God is not afraid of the light. 1 John 1:5 says, He is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. It's popular to say that all faiths are really the same. But that's a total lie. Christianity and Islam cannot both be true. Islam claims Jesus as a prophet, but denies his deity. Sounds like Corinthian Gnosticism, modern day type. Islam claims Jesus as a prophet, but denies his deity. It even denies his well-documented story in the scriptures. Muslims teach that Jesus did not die on a cross, They say he didn't die at all, that he just ascended to heaven. How's that for a clever way to deny his resurrection? To compare Islam and Christianity, you have to start with their founders. One was a fierce warrior who not only condoned violence, but he demanded it. And you, I know you don't probably don't have your Quran at home to check it out, but if you do, look up Surah 8, verses 13 to 17, 860, 914, 929, just to name a few passages in the Quran. Jesus, on the other hand, is known for teaching, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Totally different. Christians deal with their flaws. That would be our Sunday morning class, Romans 7, the war between the sin nature and the spirit. Christians deal with their flaws by getting back to the source. Rebound, 1 John 1:9. And then the Word of God. Get close to the Word of God. There you will find the Prince of Peace. But when Muslims get closer to their source materials, they find violence and the infliction of pain. Most Muslims are not radicals and don't condone terrorism, but if they raise their children to believe the Quran, their children are in serious danger of becoming terrorists. It's no coincidence that so many of the world's most vicious terror groups resolutely believe the Quran. Pramila Patton, the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict, and her team studied what happened on 7 October 2023, their UN report said, quote, people were shot, often at close range, burnt alive in their homes as they tried to hide in their safe rooms, gunned down or killed by grenades in bomb shelters where they sought refuge, and hunted down at the Nova Music Festival site as well as in the fields and roads adjacent to the Nova Music Festival ground. Other violations included sexual violence, abduction of hostages and corpses, the public display of captives, both dead and alive, the mutilation of corpses, including decapitation, and the looting and destruction of civilian property. She and her team also reported sexual violence, including rape, sexualized torture, and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. Hamas led the charge, but Islam motivated Hamas to make the charge. All ideas are not equal. Adolf Hitler had ideas. Adolf Hitler's ideas were not as noble as those of Florence Nightingale. And Islam is not just another version of Christianity. They are different, totally different, as black and white, as good and evil. And Islam is evil to the core, 100%. Did you understand it? I don't want you to think I'm standing on the fence there. Joel chapter 3. And then we started verses 2 and following, where we're going to see when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom, the millennial kingdom, he will rescue all of the Jewish remnant believers, Gentile remnant believers. They will be rescued and come into the millennial kingdom. And it won't be that many. Most of them will have been martyred for their faith during the tribulation period by the Antichrist. But those few that are still living at the second advent will be rescued and brought into the millennial kingdom. And there will also be Gentiles who are still living. But they aren't rescued. They are brought in and they come under into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that is the Hebrew word that means the valley where the Lord judges. And those Gentile individuals that did not believe in Christ as their Savior, they will be judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat, sent into torments and Hades and held there until the second resurrection, when all unbelievers will be resurrected and brought before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom and then cast into the lake of fire. But here we have the basis of this judgment of these Gentile unbelievers. We exegeted verse 2 and just the beginning of verse 3. Verse 2 sounds like this. I will intensively gather together all the Gentile unbelievers, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges. And I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel, because they have intensively scattered my people, the Jews, among the Gentile nations, and they have intensely divided up my land. The land of Israel is the Lord's land. That's what Joel's saying in Joel 3, verse 2. The land of Israel is the Lord's land. And the Lord Jesus Christ deeded the land to Israel. And for 20 centuries, the land has been downtrodden, divided, and desolate. It had been occupied during this period by some 14 various powers at one time or another. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge the Gentiles for the way they have treated the Jew and divided up the land through military invasion, occupation, and oppression. The Assyrians destroyed the 10 northern tribes of Israel, 722 BC, under the leadership of Sargon II, and then took the survivors into slavery back to Nineveh. The Chaldeans destroyed the southern kingdom, Judah, in 586 BC, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar and led the survivors in slavery back to Babylon. However, it was not until the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD that the Jews were scattered all over planet Earth to suffer as no other people in human history has suffered. Now in Joel 3:3 and in Joel 3:6, we will see that the Gentiles will also be judged for selling the sons and daughters of Israel into slavery. Verse 3, we only have the first line of verse 3 that we've exegeted. They have also cast lots for my people. Now this casting lots, this is not being at the crap table. And you'd be surprised how many legalistic, self-righteous Christians are out there thinking casting lots is playing craps at the crap table. Has nothing to do with gambling. It has nothing to do at all. It has nothing to do with dice, nothing to do with craps, nothing to do with blackjack, nothing to do with roulette. So if you went down and played at the slot machine this afternoon, you don't have to rebound that. Now, if you lost all your husband's money, all your wife's money, the house is now gone, well, you might consider leaving town. They have also cast lot for my people. Now, the Bible actually has a lot to say about casting lots. And in our verse, this was the method that was used to sell people into slavery in the ancient world. That's the context of our Joel 3, verse 3. But let's see what the Bible, you'll be, I think, quite surprised at how much the Bible has to say about casting lots. One, this was the method for settling disputes in the ancient world. This was the method for settling disputes in the ancient world. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Proverbs 16:33. Notice it says, the lot is cast at the crap table. Oh, it doesn't say that? It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Its every decision is from the Lord. Well, maybe the Lord likes craps. I want to be at the table when he's throwing the dice. Turn over to Proverbs 18:18. Proverbs 18:18. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. In other words, the decision by lot separates opponents and allows for harmony to be restored in the relationship. So this was the method for settling disputes in the ancient world. Two, It was used throughout the ancient world for a non-biased system, for settling disputes, for making decisions, for designation of persons for service or punishment, for the apportioning of property. So it was used throughout the ancient world as a non-biased system for settling disputes, making decisions, designation of persons for service or for punishment, and apportioning of property. Three, it was the method used for determining which person got which slave in the ancient slave market. It was the method used for determining which person got which slave in the ancient slave market. Now we haven't exegeted all of verse 3, but I will give you the rest of the verse in corrected translation. They have also cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute. They would sell a Jewish boy into slavery for the rest of his lifetime so they could have one night with a prostitute. And they have sold a girl, a Jewish girl, into slavery as payment for wine, for a bottle of wine. Sell a Jewish girl for the rest of her life into slavery so they could have a bottle of wine. So that's Joel 3:3. We're going to get it again in verse 6. Turn over to Nahum. Nahum chapter 3. Nahum chapter 3, verse 10. Yet she was taken captive and went into exile. Her infants were dashed to pieces at the head of every street, and lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chains. Nahum 3:10. And then Obadiah. Turn to Obadiah. What chapter? There's only one. And here we see the Gentiles of Edom, the Edomites, and their treatment of the Jews. Obadiah, verse 1. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates, and they cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. This is the Edomites. You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah, the Jewish people, in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. This is the Gentile Edomite treatment of the Jews. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroad to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. This is just one category of Gentiles and their treatment of the Jewish people, the Edomites. 4. It was a method for determining God's will and for divine guidance. And that was Proverbs 16:33, and we've already looked up that passage. It was the method of determining God's will and for divine guidance, Proverbs 16:33. 5. The selection of the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement was by lot, Leviticus chapter 16. Turn over to Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16. We'll start at verse 5. From the Israelite community, he is to take 2 male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And he is to cast lots for the 2 goats. 1 lot for the Lord that will be sacrificed, and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. The live goat was the removing goat, symbolizing the removal of Israel's sins. And this was established by God in the sacrifices to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the selection of the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement was by lot. 6. The inheritance of the tribes of Israel in Canaan was determined by lot. The inheritance of the tribes of Israel in Canaan was determined by lot. Numbers 34. Numbers 34, verse 32, no, verse 13, excuse me. There's not a 13. Moses commanded the Israelites, assign this land by lot as an inheritance. A mandate through Moses from the Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers 34, 13. And then over in Joshua. Joshua 14. Joshua 14, starting at verse 1. Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes as the Lord had commanded through Moses. So the inheritance of the tribes of Israel and Canaan was determined by lot. 7. This is also how the positions of the gatekeepers in the temple were decided. This is how the positions of the gatekeepers in the temple were decided. 1 Chronicles 26. Verse 12. These divisions of the gatekeepers through their chief men had duties for ministering in the temple of the Lord, just as their relatives had. Lots were cast for each gate according to their families, young and old alike. So again, this is incorporated by the Lord with regard to the worship of the Lord. 8. When the storm rose on board the ship where Jonah was, the sailors cast lots to see who was the source of this cursing by association. Jonah was leaving town. But that didn't last very long. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah 1 verse 7. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come and let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so he got thrown overboard, and the storm subsided, and Jonah got to have a submarine ride back to Israel. And it's amazing how your mental attitude can change when you've been swallowed by a large fish and taken submarine. You got a lot of time down there to think. And when he rebounded, probably about 1,000 times on that trip, he changed his mind. "You know, I was a little out of line here, sir." 9. Casting lots was used by the Roman soldiers to decide who would get Jesus' tunic. John 19:23-24, Matthew 27:35, Luke 23:34. Let's turn over to John 19. John 19. John 19:23, the soldiers therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said therefore to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be." Now, this is all a part of the absolute truth of the Word of God. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. What Scripture is that? Psalm 22, verse 18. That the Scripture might be fulfilled, they divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Quotation from Psalm 22:18. So, a principle that you, I don't think many of you have too much problem with it, although I have. Can't tell you how many legalistic, self-righteous, jackass believers I've come in contact with and since I've been here. And they think gambling is casting lots and a vicious, horrible sin and evil. First of all, a principle. Casting lots is not gambling. Casting lots is not gambling. Casting lots is not playing craps. It's not playing blackjack. It's not playing roulette. It's not playing bingo. There are a lot of Christians, they won't, I won't do that, but I'll go down and play bingo. So just because casting lots was used to sell the Jews into slavery, was used to decide who would get Jesus' last garment, his tunic, that is not saying that gambling is a sin. 10. There's nowhere in the Bible that says gambling is a sin anywhere, anywhere. And therefore, those who accuse believers that have gambled, that have thrown dice at the crap table, played blackjack, played roulette, and declare such believers as being sinners, they are suffering from the vicious evil of legalism. They are majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. 11. Gambling is a total non-issue in the spiritual life. It's a total non-issue in the spiritual life. Throwing dice at the crap table is a total non-issue. 12. What is the issue? The issue is the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, and the written word, Bible doctrine. That's the issue. The issue is grace and truth. The issue is the filling of the Spirit and consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. The issue is, are you living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills? These are the things that are the issue. 13. There are many believers who will never pick up a pair of dice in their lifetime, who are the enemies of God. There are many believers who will never pick up a pair of dice in their lifetime who are the enemies of God because of all the self-righteousness and legalism in their soul. All right. So, back to verse 3. They have also cast lots for my people. And then Joel goes on, and have given a boy for an harlot, it says in the King James. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of nathan, plus the noun yelleth with the definite article. plus the preposition bath with the definite article, along with the cal passive participle of zana. Nathan. N-A-T-H-A-N. Nathan. And Nathan is the Hebrew verb that means to give. The vav conversive converts the imperfect into a perfect. And then we have the Hebrew noun yelev. Y-E-L-E-D, yelev. And yelev is the Hebrew word for a child, a male child, a son, a boy, a youth. And then the preposition bath. And some of you are saying, oh, I know that preposition. That means in. Very good. It does mean in very generally, but doesn't mean in here. It's used in our verse as the preposition of price and exchange. Price and exchange. What this is saying is that a Jewish boy was given into slavery as payment for one night with a prostitute. The rest of his life, he's a slave. And he's given into slavery as payment for one night with a prostitute. And then the verb zana. Z-A-N-A-H. Zana. And zana means to commit fornication. It means to be a prostitute. This is a substantival participle. It functions as a noun and means prostitute. So corrected translation, they have also cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute. For one night with a prostitute. And sold a girl for wine. This is the cal perfect of the verb makar plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the Hebrew noun yalda. See, we had yelev was the male child. This is yalda, the female, with the definite article. Plus the preposition bath prefixed to the noun yayin with a definite article. The verb makar. Looks like that in the Hebrew. M-A-K-A-R. Makar. And makar means to sell. It means to sell into slavery. And then we have the female form of the word. Yelath was the male. This is yalda. Y-A-L-D-A-H, yalda. And yalda means a girl, a young girl. And then the preposition bath, once again, the preposition of price and exchange. And that is the Jewish girl was sold into slavery, a lifetime of slavery, as payment for a bottle of wine. You don't think the Jewish people have gone through the most horrific, horrific treatment by Gentiles throughout human history? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Y-A-Y-I-N. Yayin. Yayin is wine, a bottle of wine. So the corrected translation. They have also cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute, and they have sold a young girl into slavery as payment for a bottle of wine that they might drink. This is the cal imperfect of the verb shata with the conjunction vav. I want to make sure I get the, okay. S-H-A-T-A-H, shata. And shata means to drink, specifically here in our context, to drink alcohol. In context, wine. So the corrected translation, they have also cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute, one night with a prostitute. And they have sold a young girl into slavery as payment for a bottle of wine so that they might drink and get drunk. So verses 2 and 3 now. See, this is the basis for the judgment in the valley of Jehoshaphat. This has been going on against the Jewish people for 20 centuries. 20 centuries. And yet we are so evil in this country. We are sending billions of dollars to terrorists to keep on doing the same thing again and again and again. And I tell you, I like watching sports. I get so I can't even watch sports anymore. You know why? Because they put on their advertisements about Sodom and Gomorrah in America. We are Sodom and Gomorrah in America. Pride Day. Pride Day. What is that? Let's celebrate homosexuality and lesbianism. Pride Day in America. I see. I never thought I would live to see the time when our nation is becoming a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. We are. We are a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Evil to the core. Maybe I ought to go back and teach that passage so that you know when it hits here. I'm not going to be shocked when it hits here. I know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's the same thing that's going to happen to the United States of America. And I don't care who's elected president. It won't make any damn difference. Not politics. It's Jesus Christ. That's the issue. It's God and the Word of God. But we don't want God and we don't want the Word of God. And all of these, they, homosexuals, lesbians, pride people, they hate Christians. They hate Christians, but you know who they really hate? They really hate the living and true God, because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and the holiness of God defines what sin is. And homosexuality and lesbianism is sin. Degenerate sin. And God declares it's sin. And when you have, there aren't that many Christians anymore that believe that the Bible's the Word of God, but I sure as hell do. It's the absolute truth of the Word of God. And I will stand with the absolute truth of the Word of God till the day the Lord says, come home. And when He says, come home, I'm not going to say, no, I really want to stay here. I want to see another Pride Day advertisement. And I love America. I do. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. But we are so degenerate and so evil. We have no capacity for the freedoms that we have in this country. So verses 2 and 3, I will intensively gather together all the Gentile unbelievers, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges, and I will enter into judgment with them there concerning my people, even concerning my inheritance, Israel, because they have intensively scattered my people, the Jews, among the Gentile nations, and they have intensely divided up my land, and they have also cast lots for my people, and they have given a boy into slavery as payment for a prostitute, and they have sold a girl into slavery as payment for a bottle of wine so that they can drink, get drunk. Okay. The purpose for the judgment on these Gentile unbelievers is given in these verses. Okay, well, I got... I got about 4 pages of pulling this all together. And I could teach you tonight, and you can get home at midnight and get ready for Vacation Bible School Day 3. We'll pick it up here next week. Father, we thank You for Your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles will encourage us to make good decisions for You and for Your Word. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.